Welcome to the program God and Country Radio. Your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. Today's program is an expose on what is often referred to as liberal optimism. Both conservatives and liberals have pointed out this phenomenon, and it's addressed in the Bible. So I believe it's important that we should be aware of it and understand all of the contemporary application. Remember, the responsibility of the prophet of God is to take the truth of Scripture and to apply them to the situation and the language of the current culture. So what is liberal optimism? Optimism sounds like a good thing. Christians are supposed to be positive people, for all things work together for good to those who love God. But there is a good optimism and a bad optimism. There is good positive thinking and bad positive thinking. Along with every sin comes a false optimism. The lie that sin will not result in disaster or loss, but that sin will result in happiness and success. That is what's meant by liberal optimism. Do you remember the story of the prodigal son? The son takes his father's inheritance and squanders it on loose living. Did the prodigal think for a moment that he was going to someday be starving and feeding the swine? No, everyone who starts off transgressing the law of God believes in some sort of deceptive optimism that life is going to be better, freer, and more happy in sin. When Samson went down to the Philistines to get a Philistine woman, did he think that he would end up blind and in shackles? Proverbs 7:7. I saw among the naive a young man lacking sense. And behold, a woman comes to meet him. Suddenly he follows her as an ox goes to the slaughter. That is the end of immorality. The one who commits adultery with a woman lacks sense. He who would destroy himself does it. Proverbs 6:32. In the latest version of the movie King Kong, there's an interesting line that always comes back to my mind. The main character, Carl Denham, played by Jack Black, is a conniving movie producer who is out to make a fortune by filming Skull Island, the home of King Kong. The ship's captain gets a wireless that Denham is wanted by the authorities, and the ship needs to turn around. Denham is on the deck telling his screenwriter, Jack Driscoll, I'm finished. It's over for me, Jack. And Jack responds, how do you think this was going to end? And that line is so poignant. As one of the sub-themes of the movie, the main character makes all of the wrong choices because he's driven by a greedy optimism. An optimism that's a lie. I had a friend of mine share with me a line from an old Western. The main character tells the story of a cowboy who got it into his head that it would be fun to jump off of a 10-story building. And as he was falling, people on each floor heard him say, so far, so good. And the moral of the story is that people make bad choices that will end up in disaster. But it takes a while before the consequences of those bad choices catch up with you. In fact, as the guy was passing each of the floors, he could have been saying, like many people who make bad choices, this is a lot of fun. In fact, there's a nice cool breeze. But in the end, the choices they make end in destruction. And that is liberal optimism. And there is a personal application to this, and there's also a social political dimension. And of course, since this is God and Country Radio, I'm going to focus on the political national policy aspect. The lie that secular liberalism will result in the Great Society. The liberal progressives at the beginning of the 20th century had an optimism that big government can eliminate war and poverty and that mankind was on the brink of a new millennium. But along came World War I and World War II and the Great Depression, and liberal optimism was smashed. But not for long, because today the secular left still carries on with their godless agenda, continuing to believe in man's perfectibility apart from God, type of social Darwinism, where man is getting better and better, a belief that we're on the brink of a new age, a new world order of peace and justice for all. And as Francis Schaeffer pointed out, liberalism is a Christian heresy, a twisting of original Christian truth. The optimism of liberalism is a perversion of the early Puritan American concept of postmillennialism. So I want us to learn the term liberal optimism. Those on the left still use the term adoringly. The conservative right usually uses the term to mock naive liberals. And if you're not convinced that this concept of liberal optimism is a major concept addressed and refuted in Scripture, all you have to do is look at the record of ancient Israel. In the Old Testament, the prophets had to preach against the liberal optimism of the people. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 12. They, the false prophets and the politicians, have lied about the Lord, saying, "Not he. Misfortune will not come upon us, and we will not see sword and famine." Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 14. They have healed the brokenness of my people superficially, saying, "Peace, peace," but there is no peace. Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 13. "But ah, Lord God, I said, look, the prophets are telling them, you will not see sword, nor will you have famine, but I will give you lasting peace in this place." Jeremiah 23, 17. "They keep saying to the ones who despise me, the Lord has said, you will have peace. And as for everyone who walks in the stubbornness of his own heart, they say calamity will not come upon you." Ezekiel 13, 10. "It is definitely because they have misled my people by saying peace when there is no peace. And when anyone builds a wall, behold, they plaster it over with whitewash. So tell those who plaster it over with whitewash that it will fall. Behold, when the wall has fallen, will you not be asked, where is the plaster with which you have plastered it? Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will make a violent wind break out in my wrath. There will also be in my anger a flooding rain and hailstones to consume it in wrath. So I shall tear down the wall which you have plastered over with whitewash and bring it down to the ground, so that its foundation is laid bare when it falls." The whitewash here, the plaster, is describing the lie of liberal optimism. That famous Old Testament slogan, "Peace, peace, when there is no peace," was the 6th century BC version of 21st century liberal optimism. The people thought that they could pursue a pluralistic religious ecumenicalism, permitting the immorality of Baal, along with a watered-down version of Jehovah worship, and everything would be just fine for the nation. And they completely ignored the warnings of the law of God in Deuteronomy chapter 28, that if they will not obey the Lord their God to observe to do all of his commandments, cursed shall you be in the city, cursed shall you be in the country, cursed shall be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send upon you curses, confusion, and rebuke in all that you undertake to do, until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly on account of the evil of your deeds, because you have forsaken me. But Israel was like the man who jumped out the window. As Israel passed each floor, she said, "So far, so good." The people did not believe that their immorality, their child sacrifice, their idolatry would result in national collapse. Even worse, eternity in hell. The secular left in America, the ungodly majority, have been working to remove Christianity and turn America into a secular state. And they've been working to replace America's moral foundation of God's natural law with the foundation of law being human reason or human preference. Universities have been teaching young people that there are no absolutes, that morals are changing and relative, and all you have to do is simply be true to yourself. And this apostasy comes packaged with the lie that disaster will not overtake us. While Christians have been saying the abandonment of God will result in more crime, more poverty, more tyranny, more civil unrest, more loss of freedom, the decline of prosperity, the secular left has, of course, been putting a good face on the future. They have to. Let me give you some examples. First, the conservative right, for the last 50 years, has been saying that the legalization of abortion will result in the disrespect for all life. And if babies in the womb can be killed, so also the elderly, the handicapped, the unproductive, even political opponents. You can't kill 60 million babies without it destroying the moral fabric of society. And we'll soon see the same disrespect toward human life and human rights as was seen in Nazi Germany and Stalinist Russia. But the secularist, the pro-abortionist, says no. We'll never see the gas chambers again. Nazi Germany was a peculiar aberration. In fact, that was the product of conservative thinking, not secular atheism. In fact, abortion will give us more liberation and more freedom. And we can still maintain human dignity even if we have legalized abortion. Jeremiah 14:13, we will not see sword or famine. We will have a lasting peace. A second example. The conservative right has been saying that the legalization of homosexuality and the concept of gender liquidity will result in the destruction of the institution of the family, the explosion of all sorts of perversions, and hence the entire breakdown of the society. And of course, the left says no. Homosexualism, transgenderism, the LGBT agenda will make for a great open society where everyone will be treated fairly. In fact, they say that the traditional family structure and male patriarchism is the cause for all the evils we have in society. So therefore, we're not making the country worse, we're making it better. We don't need God. All we need is equal treatment under law. And with this comes a false optimism regarding sexual deviance. The Bible says, do not be deceived. Those who sow to the flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption. Galatians 6:8. And those who leave the natural function for that which is unnatural are given over to a depraved mind. Romans chapter 1. And those who indulge the flesh in its corrupt desires are like unreasoning animals. 2 Peter 2:12. And the examples we have in the Bible of homosexual cultures, Genesis 19, Judges 19, are cultures of violence and murder. But the secular left has successfully spread the lie that homosexuality is gay. There was an article last month about parents complaining about an anti-bullying conference for middle schoolers. This was in Iowa, and the conference was hosted by Iowa Safe Schools. It's a nonprofit organization, but the conference was paid for by taxpayers. And these anti-bullying conferences are going around the country, and they are a front for promoting homosexuality among young teens. The article explains that of the 24 speakers, only 2 address bullying. And that was just about how you should not speak against homosexuality. The rest of the speakers talk to the students about the most deviant sexual behaviors. The article reads, the main featured speaker, a drag performer, Miss Coco Peru, cursed a lot, and encouraged students to vandalize the property of critics. Peru then went on to sing a song, and I can't even say those words on the air. Now, there were some parents who began to object, but they were then referred to as bullies, and they were called disgusting for being intolerant. And this is what Christians have been saying all along. This is where homosexuality leads to. Gross perversions, gutter behavior and talk, perversions such as pedophilia, paraphilia, rape, incest, bestiality, S&M bondage, exhibitionism, voyeurism, child molestation, sadomasochism, fetishism, cross-dressing, transgenderism. What you get is a complete discarding of all morality, and you end up in Sodom. Because if the law of God is abandoned in regard to homosexuality, then everything is permissible. But again, the left has worked to convince the American public that homosexuality is natural and it's wholesome. The real insiders, they know otherwise. In fact, they want those gross perversions. They want every home to look like a crack house. They want every child to look like a drag queen. One of the speakers in this anti-bullying conference went off on how all people suck and how much he hates everyone. These people, by their nature, are destroyers. But the majority of the outer supporters believe the propaganda of liberal optimism, and they become the useful idiots. There's a whole continuum in society. Those who are closest to Satan, who kill and steal and destroy. And those who still retain some decency, but they still want to live free from God, thinking that they can be free from God and still have that decency. But it's that transitional crowd that is fooled and lured by the lie of liberal optimism. A third example. The conservative right has been saying that the removal of a belief in God's natural law will result in rights no longer coming from God, but from government. And when government gives you rights, then government will take away those rights. The Founding Fathers even predicted that the abandonment of the law of nature and nature's God will result in the end of freedom. George Washington said, of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. And let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. In other words, it can't be. But the left says no, God can be taken out of government, and we can still have freedom and democracy. Alan Bloom, in his book, The Closing of the American Mind, gives a good example of this. Supreme Court Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes, early 20th century, rejected the idea of law originating from God, and he instead believed law was a function of public opinion. So that for Holmes, the standard for lawful speech and unlawful speech was not some higher principle of right or wrong given by God, but whether the speech constituted a clear and present danger. You see the foundation for tyranny that Holmes just laid down? The basis for ruling what speech in society is acceptable becomes the preservation of public order and the common good. The exact same foundation used by the communists to outlaw free speech. Alan Bloom writes this. Behind liberal opinions, there was an optimistic view of progress, one in which the complete decay of democratic principles and a collapse into barbarism are impossible, and in which the truth unaided always triumphs in the marketplace of ideas. But this optimism had not been shared by our founders. Unquote. Then Bloom goes on to explain in his book The Danger of Multiculturalism and Moral Relativism. And this gives us a fourth example. The left believes that we can break down America's heritage and still have America. They call the founders racists, homophobes, slaveholders, bigots. They say that America is no better than any other country, and that American values are not superior. And they think that this is harmless. Alan Bloom writes the following. We are used to hearing the founders charged with being racist, murderers of Indians, representative of class interests. I asked my first history professor in the university, a very famous scholar, whether the picture he gave us of George Washington did not have the effect of making us despise our country. Not at all, he said. It doesn't depend on individuals, but on our having good democratic values. To which I rejoined, but you just showed us that Washington was only using those values to further the class interests of his Virginia squirearchy. He got angry, and that was the end of it. He was comforted by a gentle assurance that the values of democracy are part of the movement of history and did not require his elucidation or defense. He could carry on his historical studies with moral certitude that they would lead to a greater openness and hence more democracy. The lesson of fascism and the vulnerability of democracy, which we had all just experienced, had no effect on him. Unquote. So this is an example of the lie of liberal optimism at work in our universities. The left is preaching that rights come from man, not from God, that people should have the state guarantee for them, cradle to grave, jobs and services and support. They are teaching a Darwinistic survival of the fittest, that morality is the greatest good for the greatest number. They despise the Constitution. They promote racial identity politics, just like the Old South. They teach that man is a consumer and that the worker is simply a human resource. And this is the moral foundation upon which the communist state was built, upon which slavery was built. But the left doesn't believe that. They're like the man in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 18. The man who says, I have peace, though I walk in the stubbornness of my own heart. He is a root bearing poisonous fruit and wormwood, turning the well-watered, successful nation into a desert. Like the guy who jumped out of the building, as he passed each floor, he said, so far, so good, and then he hit the sidewalk. It has been correctly said that a liberal is one who thinks he can remove the root and still have the flower. Do you know what liberal optimism is? It was the first lie in the Garden of Eden when Satan came to mankind and said, you will not die if you eat of the forbidden fruit. In fact, you will become wise and be like God. 2 Peter 2:19, promising them freedom while they themselves are slaves of corruption. You've been listening to God and Country Radio with Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Central New Jersey, exit 120 of the Garden State Parkway. To listen to this program again or other past programs, go to our website, godandcountryradio.org. From there, you can shoot me an email. I'd love to hear from you. That's godandcountryradio.org. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, in you we have a future and a hope. In you we have life, liberty, and eternal salvation. If there be anyone listening today who has believed the lie of Satan, bring them out of the dominion of Satan and into the kingdom of God, so that they will receive the inheritance of Christ. In whose name we pray, amen.